listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to LA Talk Radio's Your Ultimate Life. Today, we're going to talk about an interesting topic, authenticity, a word that gets talked about so much and misused and abused. I've got a guest today, my business partner and lovely Joy Flukiger. We're here to talk about authenticity. And I thought it was just so important because there's so much of this nonsense about what's real, not real going on. And that's one of the reasons I chose this background, a cat and a dog. So, Joy, when you think about authenticity and how much there isn't in the world, what comes to you? What shows up for you the minute I say that?
It's hard to say. You either are or you aren't, I guess. And it's your decision as to whether you want to show up as authentic in the world or not. I don't know what, other kind of situations things would come up. But, in certain situations, though, I don't know if we're always authentic. I don't know if we associate, authenticity with truth. And, some situations, people may have some trouble or issues with that. It's situational, though. I think for the most part, we want to show our authentic selves, or we don't in particular situations. It's situational. So if I'm afraid, let's say it's late at night and I'm walking somewhere and I may not want to show if I feel like my authenticity, I'm afraid. I may not want to show that because, if you're, predator versus prey, I don't want to be prey, right? I don't want to display those characteristics that would tell somebody else that I'm afraid. I'd want to show that, I'm like you. We're both on the same kind of page. But on other things, especially in business, you want to see who you're dealing with. That doesn't mean you need to be in full makeup and, that kind of stuff. That's not necessarily what that means, but it's just, what inside of you do you want to project, and then in turn what do you want the other person to feel, think, experience? You can't control that, but you control what you do.
So earlier today we were talking about people who show up and they make promises. I guess it's always been like this. I mean, newspapers and magazines always made advertisements about, trying to sell people stuff, right? Everything from gadgets in stereo review and, equipment and Popular Mechanics. And, the backs of those magazines have always been full of things, and women's magazines too, buy this. And the promise of those things has always been almost magic. And you were talking earlier today about someone that was promising, one day to the next to make $100,000.
Right.
And, that sort of nonsense assertion creates so much trouble, I guess, in the marketplace, because now nobody believes anything anybody says.
Well, so they don't, right? Everybody's so jaded today. And for good reason, I guess, because it's funny, you talk to people and they've, especially around coaching, they spent, tens of thousands of dollars on someone, and their expectation of whatever it was wasn't met, or maybe the person didn't deliver. There could be all sorts of reasons. But then it's like, okay, but that was my budget. It's gone now. We get the same stuff with things, a person who used to say, especially when there was an objection around money, to advise or to present the situation like, let's not use new money, but let's see where in your budget you're spending that you could reallocate those resources for this period of time to achieve whatever thing. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to put it is, can we reallocate those resources?
That's a fabulous approach to marketing. I want to ask a question. So I use this background with a cat and a dog on purpose.
Because that's a weird-looking dog.
Well, I know it's a weird-looking dog.
Sort of looks like, flames should be shooting out of its eyes or something. It's like sort of when you put that out, I thought, what a weird picture.
Well, it is a little bit, but let's just pretend that it's let's pretend that it's a regular cat and dog for a minute. And I picked this one because authenticity in the context, and like you made a good point, you know, you wouldn't want to show someone you're afraid if you are, and you wouldn't want to advertise some weakness if it was going to be detrimental to you physically, especially or spiritually or whatever. Absolutely. But I was thinking like you love cats. And so when you have a cat and a cat is doing whatever it's doing, is it hard to tell what a cat's thinking to the extent they think? I mean, you know what a cat wants, right? Yeah. If it wants to be around or it doesn't want to be around. Is a cat pretty clear about who they are?
I think they are. I have, you can't see this in the thing, but I've on the camera, but right here I have a black cat and she is fast asleep. I was going to move her, but she's pretty comfortable there. So I'm pretty sure she's just, you know, pretty zen.
And so because of that, I mean, like if a cat doesn't want you to pick them up, you know that. They'll twist and turn and scratch and do whatever. Yeah. If a cat wants to eat, they'll hang around until they get food. Like they're pretty transparent.
Yeah.
And dogs are the same way. They tend to be more effusive.
Except when it comes to injuries, you know, cats then will hide that because of that predator-prey type of situation. They don't want to show weakness if they're injured or if they're not feeling well, because then they don't want to be susceptible to some other predator. Domestic cats.
Yeah, I believe all that. Yeah. So without worrying too much about those kinds of exceptions, when I said the topic was sort of authenticity, I was thinking about the sort of presentation that, I mean, you're a marketer. You market our stuff. You help other people with marketing. And you help people do stuff online and in their business. And this putting on a show or being transparent and authentic, to me at least, has a big impact on people's businesses. So what do you think about that?
Put it again. I didn't quite understand what in the context you're talking about. So helping people with.
I'm just thinking about the social media and marketing online. Right. There is a tendency to be inauthentic, to not tell the truth, to exaggerate. Yeah. And there's always a choice between being sort of transparent and authentic.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And not being that. And I wanted to talk about that in terms of, you know, this show's about your ultimate life. It includes making money and selling products and services, whether you do it online or not. And I wanted you to talk about what you have observed as a marketer, either my stuff or other people's stuff, about what the benefits and things are about this transparency, about being true to who you are.
Well, you know, I mean, again, what I just said, you know, even at the beginning, you know, people want to present their best selves. And of course they should, because you want to attract people to you, to your product, to your service, to what you are. But, you know, one of the good or best ways might be a good business practice is to show people who you are. And that means outside of a business sense. Now, I talk to a lot of people who will say, well, you know, I only use Facebook. I just use it to connect with my friends and family. Like, I don't use it for business at all. So they don't put anything business on it. And where people like us who are in the digital marketing world, we exclusively put things for marketing for business. However, we post a lot of personal stuff, not personal stuff. Not that, you know, if you want to see something on the front page of your local newspaper kind of thing, you know, would you post that on social media kind of stuff? So you got to think in terms of, be strategic about what you want to, how you want to position yourself. So for example, like, I'll do stuff like with, I like to cook. So I do a lot of stuff with food. Or, you know, because I belong to one of those community garden things where you get a bounty of vegetables every week, and I'll post that kind of stuff. And then I'll ask questions like, what do you, you know, what's this thing? And what would you do with it? That's very simple. But those types of personal posts let people know, A, what I'm interested in, and you're able to highlight and showcase and present, you know, some part of your authentic self to the world, but yet you're not like sharing super deep stuff that you wouldn't want to be spread over social media. And then you can insert things, you can talk about, you know, some other posts about your business. But the idea is to, A, to do those kinds of non-threatening posts, because people are so conditioned today that anything about business is like, uh-oh, then they're going to DM me and then they're going to want my set up a call. And yeah, we know the drill. But if you do things in a non-threatening fashion, that people begin to see these posts daily, and you can't just post once a week and call it good and think that's going to make any type of impact on anything. It will not. But if you're doing this multiple times a day, you start to see that person and you go, oh, yeah, well, I know so-and-so loves to cook. And I know so-and-so loves to, you know, this, even this type of cuisine, for goodness sakes. So you start to get to know a person, and that lends itself to being transparent. Now, I don't have to tell people that, you know, some personal stuff, either something health related or financial, that's nobody's business but my own, unless I want people to know about it. So, you know, it can be tricky, but I think once you start doing those non-threatening ones, because you'll see that you get a lot of comments. Likes, share, likes mean nothing. Who cares about likes? What you want are people to comment and have something that's worthy to share. That's why recipes or some beautiful picture, people love to share that kind of stuff. I do, especially when I see something like super funny or something completely ridiculous. It's like, okay, I'm sharing that. And you can just see the comments. Then you can maybe post something, a piece of content about what you're doing, but make it benefit driven for the person who's reading the post, not just for you to brag. Because, oh man, you see those posts and they just drive me bananas. I got my $200,000 car and you look at me. I mean, that's fine. Like, good for you that you did that. But, you know, people mistakenly think, well, they did it, then I can do it. Not necessarily. There's a lot between that and where you are and where you want to be typically. So that's like a long-winded answer to, I think, what you're asking about authenticity and transparency.
Well, it's just part of the conversation. And yeah. I see people talk all the time about living in a world where they're unwilling to share things about themselves that could be considered negative, that they had this struggle or that struggle, or they did this wrong, or that didn't work out right.
Yeah.
And the tendency is to hide that because we somehow believe that because I share the fact that something failed or many things failed, people won't like me. And the change, but what happens is what you said earlier, you don't believe it. People say this and this and they just don't believe it. But if a person talks equally about things that work well and things that don't, things that are successful and things that are not, if there is a sharing, then it feels like there's truth. It feels like this is a real life, a person that has episodes of ups and downs. Go ahead.
But it's situational. So, you know, so I know people who are marketing stuff, for example, like financial planners. And then you find out really that these financial planners are broke or they're struggling. Okay, so if they're struggling with financial planning in their own life and they want to manage my money, great that you're authentic, but I'm not letting you near my assets because, you've shown, or let's say a stockbroker thing, you know, they keep buying, losing stocks for themselves, but invest money with them because eventually they'll pick a right one. That's just not good enough. Or, you know, you're going to go to a dentist who, you know, they failed all their classes, but, it's okay. Take a chance. No, I don't think so. Of course, that wouldn't happen, let's say, in dentistry or something, right? But it's kind of, you know, especially with the latter that, or the first one that I was talking about, you know, with because that's sort of an obvious one. And we know lots of people, we get pitched all the time with that. You know, I'll make your social media, or I'll get, you know, you'll get all these comments. And then when you go to their page, they got nothing. It's crickets. If they're lucky, they've got crickets cricketing somewhere. So that type of thing lends itself to, I don't trust then that you can do for me what you're purporting, what you're saying that you can do, because I don't see any evidence that you've done it. So that's one aspect in it. And it's pretty big because we get pitched that kind of stuff all the time. And I, you know, sometimes I would ignore, sometimes I would just delete these messages, but other times I push back and say, well, you know, you're advising me to invest in you something that you can't do for yourself. And we all know that the people who are very successful and who are teaching certain things have applied it to their own lives. I mean, you've done that with a lot of your programs. You know, you teach people how to write their, get their first draft done in 90 days. You're successful. Why? Because you've done it over and over and over and over again. And you then people have asked you, you've taught it to other people, and they've achieved that kind of success. So, you know, you have to be able to do it. And if you want to be really transparent with yourself, but some people don't care, right? So, I mean, not everybody's wants to be authentic, wants to be ethical, wants to be honest. So there's 8 billion, is it 8 billion people on the planet now? And yeah, everything in between. So you've got the ones who are really hardcore about it, and you get the other ones who go, yeah, whatever, it's just details. So it's a mixed bag, really.
So we're talking here, you know, the whole thrust to this program is how to create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy.
Right.
And if you think about authenticity, transparency, truth, sharing the good, the bad, the struggles, and at an appropriate level of disclosure, I always say that there is an appropriate level of disclosure, and everything about your life is never intended for public consumption. No.
And, you know, there's scammers all over the internet, too. So you have to be careful of what you share. I mean, if you start, you know, piecing together, okay, I live on this street in this city. This is my favorite color. This is my favorite this. And if you start doing that, then there are people out there. I'm not just making crap up here. There are people out there who will keep track of that and try and figure out, let's say, your, you know, usernames or passwords or stuff like that, you know, to use it, obviously, against you. So you have to be careful with certain things, you know, but, and hopefully people aren't, they don't do that kind of stuff and use passwords or whatever it is to, you know, that would make it obvious for someone to do that. I'm going to move this cat here now. She's there. She's woken up. Cat's woken up. She knew we were talking about cats and dogs. So she figured she's awake.
So this is something we talk about a lot in our business. We talk about things that have happened to you or that are, have happened to me, things that are going on in our lives right now.
Yeah.
And we talk on purpose about that. You made an interesting point earlier. You said for the benefit of the listener, watcher, reader.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we have things going on like, we're taking care of your mom, and we have a Ukrainian family living with us. And, you know, they're pieces of our lives right now, as well as the businesses that we're running and your publishing company and the books that I write and the music that I do and everything else. So what do you think is a – how do you think about striking a balance between good authenticity that's not self-aggrandizing, look at me – that is helpful to the listener or reader, so that what you share isn't about making you cool, but about giving someone hope.
Yeah.
When you think about that, what do you think about?
Well, I think of terms of, you know, let's say if you've done something maybe that you haven't done before, something that's really hard. I've spent years working with things like funnels and graphics and doing, you know, the technical pieces of website building and the back ends, you know, what we call it. And those are things that to me are easy, but to some people it's not so easy. So, you know, taking the time to learn this and then to be able to confidently speak about it. And then saying like, you know, because a lot, especially like even now with AI and how do you navigate and being authentic while using AI and using things in your marketing, everything's trial and error, and you can what we call split test anything, try this and try that and see which one works better. But it's going to take time. This isn't something that's just happens overnight. But the beauty with coaching, though, is that you're looking for shortcuts, you're looking for hand-holding, you're looking for accountability. And you can build on what somebody else has created or what somebody else has gone through to help yourself. Because there's a lot of things right now that I'm kind of one, I like the technical piece, I like to be able to do it myself, but I also know enough to say, maybe I don't want to really learn that. I'm going to hire and let somebody else do it. But because I have been in the trenches and because I've done it, I think it makes it easier to pinch hit or step in or be able to, put out fires or any type of, you know, things that might go off the rails at some time. So, you know, you really have to look at some of the things that you're doing and where your value add is in any type of situation like that. Did I answer your question, or is that sort of?
Well, I was just looking somewhere. I was looking for some conversation about, like, we have a lot to share. You market, edit, and market other people's books.
Yes, I do.
And you know, I know just because of your comments, you feel sometimes there's real truth in the books. You feel sometimes there's a lot of gobbledygook in the books.
Yeah, it's like, what are they talking about? I don't see that at all. I know, right?
And that's the authenticity piece. So my question really was, given your experience, puffery, yeah. braggadocio, what do you think about when you think about marketing us? Is what is a good level of real authenticity, not pretentious stuff? Yeah. How do you go about thinking about that? Because it's a real challenge. It's a real issue, especially in coaching and other stuff.
I think you got to start with where you are and what you like. So in terms of Kellen loves music. Kellen loves creating music. I mean, you said that's like the one thing in your life that you want to do is something to do with music. So then, if I was building a campaign around you, one of the things I would look at is you doing some social posting around the music part of what you're doing. Maybe it's taking a picture of some old gear that you used to have and talking about it, or maybe lamenting how it used to be in the old days, you know, when you had all this analog stuff and now everything's digital and it just doesn't seem as fun anymore, you know, pushing all those knobs and moving everything up and down. Maybe it just doesn't, you know, feel as authentic anymore. It's all digital. And now everybody and their dog's best friend's dog sitter, you know, can do this kind of stuff. But, you know, still, you are a songwriter. You like doing video work. You're a good video editor in so much that other people ask you to edit their videos. You've created songs for other people. You've been with a world-class group who sold out Carnegie Hall and who's charted number one on Billboard more than once. So with that amount knowing about you, that's an easy campaign to do. Now, some people would say, I don't know. I don't know what I like to do. I mean, I like to crochet. That would be a bit of a stretch probably to build a campaign around that. You can, if it's somehow tying it into then what else you're doing. But sometimes a lot of these things, when you're just talking about starting with that place of what you like to do, that's enough. And then usually people will start to create a list of all the things that you love to do, the things that you'd like to do, the places that you'd like to visit, the foods that you eat. I mean, you can just, there's infinite amount of things that you could certainly talk about in a non-threatening post to get people to take a look at you and go, huh, I didn't know that. That's really cool. I like that too. Maybe I should see what else they're up to. That's where it starts. But the biggest thing is that you have to be consistent. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk, who I, you know, really like and follow, you know, he, fair warning, there's a lot of people out there who say, yeah, forget. No, that's not what you have to do. You have way less. It's not true. If you want to be noticed, you have to put yourself out there to be noticed. And especially if you're doing anything online, if you're not visible, what are you?
Invisible.
You're invisible. And you can't be visible by posting once a day. And now some people would say, well, why? You know, I keep doing it. Nobody sees. That's true. Today is a pay-to-play marketplace. But there's still some great markets to play in. Pinterest, that's a great platform. It's not really overcrowded with a lot of stuff. People are making a killing on Pinterest by uploading their products and their services and things like that for people to consume and content. You know, Facebook is a little bit challenging sometimes because now you have to boost every post if you want to anybody to see it. But here's the key. And here, this is something that a person can go turn around and do tomorrow. You do your personal stuff. Me, I would post stuff about food. You post stuff about music. Great. You get the non or books you like or whatever it is. You get the comments because everybody wants to comment. You get some likes. Maybe you'll get some shares. When you want to do a business post somewhere in there, you're going to have to boost it because today really nobody will see it. And the other key, and this is very, very important, in your post, in your main post, or if you have a picture, a post, or a video, do not put the URL to your product or service in your post. Facebook doesn't like that at all. So what you do is you put your link to whatever your product, service in the comment section. Or you can tell people to comment me, because you don't have your URL of your product or service in your post. You tell when somebody comments on it, you say, comment me. So they'll put their comment in, you know, the person. Then you can either send them a DM or you can put a link in there. But absolutely don't put it in your, well, that's today anyway. This is August 22nd, 2023. Who knows, in a couple of months that might be changed. But most of the time, I mean, every platform, their main, they don't care about you or your service or your product. What they care about is people staying on the platform. They don't want external links that are going to take people away from their platform. That's why when you see a lot of posts that people, if you see posts going down your newsfeed, a lot of people won't put it in the post itself. They'll put it in the comment section. I think that's kind of like one of the best tips that I can give somebody today is do that.
So you said something really interesting I'd like to follow up on. You talked about the need. Yeah, it's fascinating, and it's true, but it just went zip on by.
Well, I'm full of it. Ties, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know. You're just full of it. And it goes right to this authenticity piece. So if you have to post a lot in order to be noticed, because if you're not visible, you're invisible. Okay, mm-hmm. That's all true. And those that follow Gary Vee know that he did his 900 YouTube videos on wine tasting and everything else back in the, back in the Stone Age. And of Stone Age of this social media stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. When you think about frequent sharing of your life, you've made a point about, you know, don't be just trying to sell stuff because then nobody will look at it, but just walk of life. But this is where authenticity comes in because since we're talking about Gary, but there are others that model this too. What you see, like it was an MC at a couple of times, conferences where Gary spoke. So we've met him and we know him and stuff like that. But what you see is what you get. So when you see his multiple posts, they all feel authentic, meaning this is real Gary.
Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to get at in the beginning when I asked about the role of authenticity in using marketing of any kind, but especially in social media, because it goes by so fast.
Oh, it does.
The need to be authentic, meaning true to who you are. So if somebody met you somewhere, it's not a completely different person, or if someone somehow had a vision in your life, it doesn't feel like the experience you had when you get these pitches of people that are going to find us 100 leads or whatever, or get to fix our social media, and you go chase their pages down and they got exactly nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. So that that was the authenticity that I was talking about. So if someone saw your stream of posts and they see your real life, it's like, oh, that's the same person.
Yeah, right. And I think that's really true with Gary Vee. You know, and maybe over the years he changed, because I've seen those videos when he was doing the wine tasting, and that was for his parents, you know, his parents' store. And, you know, and I mean, in the wine tasting, he was pretty, I think, low key ish. But I mean, anybody who knows him knows it. I mean, he swears a lot. You know, every third word is, you know, the F word or something. And, you know, he doesn't care. And people have asked him about that. He says, doesn't bother me any. Bothers you all. Okay, that's your problem. And then because he has kids as well, Gary does, you know, some people have asked him, well, what about your kids? You know, what, you know, do you do it in front of them? And he says, uh-huh. he's of the opinion that he doesn't think, you know, it's not going to hurt them, because they're going to hear it at school. They're going to hear it places. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, he's being authentic and true to himself. So, I you know, I admire that. I admire people who, you know, I mean, this is who I am, like it or not like it. And I think it goes to the point that he's not trying to impress anybody. You know, he's not trying to sell anybody anything. Now, that may be because also he's, you know, made it, you know, what if he has some sort of metric that tells him that. And we know people who are true to themselves in that way. And you either identify with them and like them and want to, you know, follow that person, or you don't. You've had people say to you that, oh man, you're too intense. I can't take it. You know, you're just, And they've quit, or they decided not to do whatever it is with you in terms of business because of that. You know, that was your execution mentor, that, you know, you've also used that sometimes as the execution mentor. And some people thought that was really harsh. But when you're coaching or when you're on calls, you're intense sometimes, and your voice is raised and you're animated, and that's who you are, right? And so when I see people who may look at some of your videos, because some of them are, especially if you're talking something spiritual or something deep or something NDE, you're going to have a different, you know, you're going to communicate that message differently than if you're talking something else about, you know, having, you know, some of your clients be accountable, you know, hold them to their word or whatever. So you're going to, you know, treat them in a different fashion, situational, but that still means that that's who you are. And you've met people who've said, yeah, he's like that on the video. That's the guy. And that's sort of like a really good compliment. But well, I know also,
go ahead.
I've just got one more small point, but I also know a couple people who, you know, I've talked about this before, where, you know, I've seen their, you know, their social media stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, that's who to look out for. And then we were at a conference and it's like, yeah, he's just over there. I'm like, I don't see anybody who looks like that over there or over there. I don't see. It's like, yeah, right there. I'm like, never in 100 years would have put the two together. So that I feel kind of like, really? Okay. I feel ripped off in that respect. Cause it's like, if you can't show me who you are today, like, why are you using a 30-year-old picture? Is it because you have a poor self-image? You feel bad? You think that was the best time in my life that I looked the best, and now I look some... You can't hide it. I mean, if you want to make those changes and go back to whatever, then you can do that. That, okay, that would be authentic. But to present something that clearly, I mean... Was that how I reacted? I mean, I was like,
yeah, you were blown. I remember you were blown away. Thank you for saying all that, because on my videos, on podcast episodes, on calls, I have screamed at people. I have shouted. I have wept. I have done all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And gotten animated and excited and challenged people and done all that.
Yeah.
And that is authenticity. For me, that is me all the way. And that's the thing that I was, you, that we've been discussing. In terms of your marketing, if you're selling screwdrivers, go ahead and sell screwdrivers. Nobody cares if you do a song and dance because it's a commodity. But if you're selling anything that has to do with your integrity, if you're selling anything to do with has anything to do with your experience, what you've been through, who you are, stories you tell, stories about your life, stories about people you know, if you have anything to do with that, and you're choosing to use any of the online platforms, social media, YouTube, all of them, then authenticity, meaning the presentation of your true character and being, is essential
to
creating value. It is essential to having people join your tribe, because otherwise they're joining a fake statue. They're joining a picture that you're not. And whether the picture is a 30-year-old photograph whether the picture is a 30-year-old photograph or it's some old thing you did a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, people want to trust you. People want to believe that if they saw you in person or over time, that it's the same person. It feels the same energy.
Right.
And that's the core of the authenticity that is required. Because if you're trying to create a life, the ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, and it is somehow disconnected from the person that you really, that you present, if your real life is different from the one you present, you're going to flop. You're going to fall on your face. You're going to implode because you need to be truthful and transparent.
Absolutely. And
that's where I was going from the get-go, and we have come there as we talked about all these different things.
Well, it's not a straight path. It's not a straight road. It's windy, and you have to backtrack and take a different route even sometimes. It's not a clear, straight shot. For 99.9% of the people. It wasn't for Gary Vaynerchuk. It wasn't for any of these other people that we know. You know, it's sometimes it's hard battles. Sometimes it's hard work and you have to sacrifice things. And sometimes your time or buying some useless crap that you don't need. You know, it is what it is. And people, especially today. So, for example, like years ago, the saying, you know, what years ago, I'm talking like 10 years ago. Okay. And this is not like it's, but it's still, in terms of digital marketing, that's like, it might as well be 100 years ago. It used to be, you know, 7 to 10 touches. You know, somebody has to see you in 7 to 10 times. Today, it's double. And not 14, I mean 20 to 20 plus times. And that's if people are actually seeing your stuff. It is pay to play. You know, you have to boost those posts, whether you're on Pinterest or whether you're on Facebook or any of the other ones. You know, you have to... In some of those cases, you have to pay. However, you also have to do it often, you know, 3 times a day on Facebook/Instagram, 3 times a day on TikTok, if you're on TikTok, 3 on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a little bit unique in that if you don't see it at that kind of moment, it's gone. I mean, you know, it changes so fast because people are uploading so much material that a one and done, I'll upload something once a week on LinkedIn, it's not going to do it. It just will not. And one of the best things to do is to get into groups where you think your clients are and to interact with that group, not to sell anything, but to provide value to the people who are in that group by making thoughtful comments, adding your own content to your answers and your responses. That's how you get noticed quickly, without having to boost your posts.
Let me give you an example of what you're saying. And this is authenticity, meaning how someone really is. So let's say you're in a group, whether it's a physical group, like a networking group, a business BNI chapter or another networking group, or it's a Facebook group online. Right. If the energy you bring to the group is, I'm coming to see what I can get. I went to a networking group once, and after it was over, we had breakfast, and I was just meeting somebody, and we were engaged in a conversation, and a younger fellow butted in to the conversation. He just stood in between us, and he handed us both a business card, and he gave us a short spiel, and it was for some network marketing thing, and he was going to save us $1 trillion, and fix the universe. Well, not really, but right, you know, all this stuff. And he said, I just wanted you to have this before I left.
Yeah. Right.
So that energy was his authentic energy.
Yeah.
He was more concerned about making sure we had a card, making sure that we saw his face and that he said whatever he had to say. That was the energy that he brought to the conversation.
Yeah.
And that taking notes or something, that ticking is really loud.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, I just was noticing it's quite loud. Anyway, the energy that he brought to the conversation was one of, I am here. This is me. This is what I'm doing. And that was his energy. And when he left between the two of us talking, neither one of us said a word. And I didn't know this fellow. We both looked at each other, took his business card, and tore it in half and threw it away. Because but if you bring an energy to a Facebook group or a LinkedIn group or a business networking meeting that is me, 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 then that's how people are going to react to you. And you are being authentic because that's actually all you're thinking about is what can I take from this situation? Yeah. And if you bring the energy of what can I provide to this situation, who can I serve? How can I get to know your coolness? How can I get to know you as a person, understand who you are and what you do and why you're here?
Absolutely.
That's a completely different energy to bring to the situation. And again, it has to do with choosing who you really are and being authentic to that choice.
Well, and, you know, if this person was younger, maybe they don't know. Like, this isn't something that most people aren't born with that skill. It's a skill, and you have to learn how to network with people. There are, certain, I guess if you do it, I mean, it's practice. You have to practice this type of skill. It's just not going to, you know, by osmosis, suddenly just, now I suddenly know all this stuff. You have to practice it, and better practice it in somewhat of a non-threatening, you know, low key kind of event than a marquee event where you really want to make a splash or an impact. And sometimes it's going to take you a while to really get into a groove or figure out what's working. Like if that person saw that, then you ripped up their business card, maybe they may just, write you off as something. But other times maybe they would say, hey, I wonder, but you have to have that sense in yourself to say, is this something that I'm doing? Because people keep ripping up my business card. Maybe, And I mean, there's coaches you can hire. There's people you can ask. I mean, you can talk to pitch your own family members, I guess, if they're so open to that kind of thing, or friends, or if you're in a group, maybe a group coaching, or if you're in a community where you would have those kinds of exchanges or interactions, you can test that out. And we've been to, so many networking events. And often some of these networking events, you will practice your pitch. It's a non-threatening environment where you write it out, right? Write what you want to say, and then you practice it on whoever you're teamed up with during that networking event. And that, what a perfect way to do it. Then you can get direct feedback. Or it's like, wow, I want that. Whatever it is, I want that. Because eventually you want to get to the part or to the point with yourself where it's like, I don't care what he or she is selling. I don't care if they're backing it. I'm in. I know I have people in my life that I think, I don't care what they're selling. I trust that person. Whatever they're doing, sign me up. Right? I mean, you know people like that too, where it's like, whatever. If they say it's good, it's good. So, but that takes time.
Again, authenticity comes up.
Yeah.
If a person shows up, if a person makes a choice, and this person was young and they didn't have the experience, and I'm sure that's why. So it was more amusing than irritating.
Right.
But the energy was, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And it felt like contamination. So we're tearing it up to take a shower, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. For me, at least, the energetic shift was, I am here in this meeting to serve, see who I can help, instead of I'm here to see what I can get. That was a huge change and lesson for me. Going to anything, they still want to get some money to just completely eliminate that and go in with the idea, I'm here to figure out who I can help.
Isn't that a much more either elevated or advanced way of looking at things? Because I think if I'm going to a networking event, I haven't been to one in a long time, but I mean, is it still structured that way where people bring their stack of business cards and they go in to make appointments, meet people? Because, you know, I'm thinking if I'm going to a networking event, do I want to meet more friends? Probably not, because I'm in a lot of groups as it is where I have that type of interaction. So I think in some ways I would want to go to a networking event where I can listen to what the other person says and talk. Because when you listen to somebody else, you find out who they are, what they're about, if there's a possibility. But that can't be your only reason. Be told myself that's probably sometimes that or not.
If my learning from them teaches me that I have something for them, then does that opportunity open up? But if I make a choice, and this is where I come from now,
it took time.
It took years.
Yeah.
And here's the years. It took years overcoming the fear that I wouldn't find any clients and wouldn't get any money.
Yeah.
And as soon as I quit worrying about that, number one, your blood pressure goes way down. You realize you don't need anything right this minute. You're not going to die.
Yeah.
And then you're able to create real connections. And that level of trust that you talked about a minute ago is way more easily established. Yeah. When you go at things with that sort of truth and openness.
Well, and, you know, exactly. And, you know, there's some networking organizations, though, that structure themselves to, you know, you give your pitch, you see who else in your network of those people will be interested in your B&I comes to mind, right? Because it's usually they just have one of each category. Although there's a lot of insurance categories and real estate categories, I've noticed is like there's six realtors and six, you know, insurance people in one group, but it's because they're this kind or that kind, and it seems a little odd, but whatever. But you know, here's the thing. Remember, there was one that we went to, and a person said, "Okay, well, you know, who's your ideal client?" And the guy said, "You know, anybody who has a roof." He was a roofer or whatever they're called, right? Anybody who has a roof. Really? Anybody who has a roof? So a thatched roof, a commercial roof, a school roof. I mean, that you're going to get no one then, because it's like, oh, I don't know, you know, because and that was like 12 years ago or something like that, 10 years ago. But today you really do have to be specific. Is it commercial? Is it residential? Is it, you know, tin roof? Like, what are we dealing with? And even in our own, whatever it is that we're doing, narrower in your niche or niche, if you're somewhere else, I say niche, you have to be somewhat narrow because you can't help everybody. And do you want to help everybody? I don't want to help everybody. You know, so my services are expensive. So I'm sorry, but I can't help everybody. I have to be choosy about who I help because, you know, my services are expensive. And I earned it. So
we're coming pretty close to our time here. I want to give you one chance to just say, in the context of authenticity, talking to people about presenting the truth of who you are, why is that important? What's your last thought about giving some thoughts about that from your publishing, from your marketing, and all of the career that you've had.
Yeah, I think back to, you know, the saying, you know, that Shakespeare said, you know, to thine own self be true. Those are maybe words that were written hundreds of years ago, but they certainly are relevant today, and even more so because the world and the online space is so cluttered. Maybe you don't know who you are. Maybe you're still trying to figure it out. And if that's the case, well, you know, there's an expert coach here who might be able to help you figure some of these things out. But it does take time, and you really do, if you want to, look inside yourself, make some notes, figure out what you like, what you don't like, where you want to be, where you want to go. It's going to take some work. And I think people who journal a lot, they get it, because that self-reflection is so important. So, you know, start where you are. You can certainly reach out to Kellen. You know, he's an expert in this area. So I think that's pretty much all I got to say.
Thank you. And I thank you for being here with us. I want you guys to take a moment and think about this. We've had several branches of authenticity, but the real key piece about building a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy starts with knowing who you are. Like this cat and the dog, they know who they are. They act authentically all the time. You know what's going on in their minds. Are you true to yourself? Do you know who you are and what you want? I at least have discovered in my own long and winding road that authenticity, knowing who you are and being true to that knowledge, no matter what you offer and no matter what you sell, is the fastest way to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.